So the passage that I like to read is Psalm 78, verse 1 to 7. And let's read it together. Would you like to stand and read with me? There are 7 verses. Let's read it together. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children, so the next generation will know him, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they will put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commandments. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, I have 5 slides to show you. I found it on Google, and it's between a role of a mother and a father. A mother would dress up, you know, on Halloween, and the father would dress the boy up like that, tie him up, lock his mouth. And the role of a mother, bring a child to the zoo, whereas the father would feed or drop the child into the pen. And a mother would read to their child while the father played video games. A mother would go to shopping and put the child in the cart, while else the father piled the things on the child. And the mother would help the child cook and cut, and the father put the child on the barbecue pit. I thought that was so funny. Now, pop culture, media, and sometimes government policy put a lot of value on the role of mother and not on fathers. And I believe this because at one time in Singapore, where I come from, the government policy actually favors women with university degree. And they say women with university degree can have more children. And this causes an outcry. And that was in 1984. And then they scraped the idea, so they didn't come out. Initially, that was the idea. University parents can, mothers can have more children. Now, I have my recollection of my father, and this is my father. And he went to be with the Lord 3 years ago. He was a godly father, but he was a very busy man. I didn't have a lot of conversation with him because he has a lot of meetings, but his influence was always there. One time my sister was complaining to him about, you know, so-and-so, and my father's response wasn't like, you know, you should change or she should change, but my father's response was, pray for that person so that she would not lose her reward in heaven. I thought, wow, that is wisdom. During the celebration, I went back 2014 to attend my father's funeral. And during the celebration of life, many people came up to me and thanked me for lending my father to them. I thought, okay, great. He wasn't home a lot, but he was helping a lot of people, a lot of Christian organizations, and they come up and thank me. I thought, oh, that's nice. My father was involved with prison ministry. He actually went to the death cell to witness to them, but he never tell us children to do it. But my brother picked it up, and I myself picked it up, and my elder sister also went to prison. And I was involved with Maximum Women Prison in Singapore for 5 years. And it's just the influence. I don't know, it's just the influence there. Even though my grandmother was my sole caregiver, both my parents worked, I was very close to her, but I felt my father's influence impacted me a lot. So on this day, Father's Day, fathers, your impact is greater than you know. You set the tone. And just now in Psalms chapter 78, especially verse 5 to 7, it says, for the next generation to know God, you have to talk to your children. For the next generation to know him, even the children yet to be born, you need to tell your children so that they can put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds and would keep his commandments. I read an article from Life Science. This article is taken from Ronald Rockner. He is the director of the Center of the Study of Interpersonal Acceptance and Rejection. He studied and published an article, a journal called Personality and Social Psychology Review, and he published it recently. And the study analyzed 36 studies from the year 1975 to the year 2010, and it involves 1,400 adults ranging from 18 to 89 years old and 8,600 children ranging from 9 years old to 18 years old over a span of 18 countries. His study shows that society tend to place a lot of emphasis on mothers. And the study shows that children become more hostile, aggressive, emotionally unstable, have low self-esteem, a negative worldview, and when they are rejected and unloved. However, they discovered that the behavioral problem, delinquency, depression, and substance abuse and psychological adjustment are more closely linked to rejection from fathers than mothers. And whenever children feel they are loved by fathers, they have a sense of well-being, happiness, and life satisfaction. They also discovered that if they have good relationship with their fathers, they are less likely to live in poverty, more likely to do better in school and not go to prison, less likely to do drugs and alcohol abuse, less likely to be sexually active as teens, more likely to have bigger vocabulary, more likely to take healthy risks. He said he couldn't explain why dad's influence outshined mom's, but he discovered that kids tend to pay more attention to what fathers does and say. So parents are more intuitively to what fathers say and does. When dad are more persistently involved or more engaged, their vocabulary tend to increase. And dad's involvement is not just going on vacation or you know, attending your concert and things like that, but everyday activity. And if dad are better in listening to their children, have better, closer relationship and setting appropriate rules and freedom, the children are better adjust and do better. I thought this is a very interesting research because it's a non-Christian research. Dad, you are not optional. Dads, you have equal footing and even you should be even more involved in parenting. In yet another article taken from Influence of Fathers by Focus on the Family, Dr. David Popinel, a professor of sociology at Newgate University and co-director of the National Marriage Project, provided us with some summary and the overview of influence of fathers. Here is what he has to say. Fathers are not second adult in the home. You're not just a second adult in the home. Involved fathers, especially biological fathers, bring positive benefit to their children that no other person is likely to bring. They provide protection, economic support, and male role models. They have a parenting style that is significantly different from that of the mother. And that difference is important in a healthy child development. Dad play kind of rougher with the children and therefore encourage healthy risk-taking. They also encourage, provide kids with broader diversity and social experiences. And they provide a wider variety of methods of dealing with life, about fairness and justice, more objective with consequences of wrong and right. And they also provide kids into the world of men, insight into the world of men, and prepare them for the challenges of life. So Dad, you are not optional. You are very important. And this is my encouragement to you. But all good parenting, good fathering, begins with, first of all, the first pointer I'd like to address is conversations of God or about God. Fathers, you need to have conversation with your children about God. And hopefully that conversation is not just about God, also biblical worldview. Today, they say on an average, children have more access to information than a student in the whole life in the first century, in the 1200s. Because children live in a digital world. They can Google, they can find access to all kinds of information. But they need the knowledge of God. And fathers, talk to them. Do not just ask them to Google about information. Talk to them about God. Talk to them about your own journey with God. Teach them the fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. And what is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to differentiate between right and wrong. And wisdom is character, is virtue, and it usually comes with experience. And fathers, you have the life experience. Your child is on their own journey, the journey towards their own identity, a sense of belonging, finding purpose. But they are more complicated now than it was a generation ago. Getting to know your child and your child's culture and language will help too. Connect with them. Develop their hearts. Be proactive. Talk to them first before the wolves talk to them. Now, there was a survey that says 70% of university students, Christian university students, have doubts about their faith. And there's another survey that says the church will lose 27 million young people in the next 30 years. The gospel of Jesus Christ kind of have lost its impact. Not totally, but kind of. Because the younger generation have no connection with their parents. The younger generation do not want to see their parents just being concerned about things in the church. They want the parents to know, they want to know that parents are concerned about things that are happening in the world, world events, current issue, and they want their parents to talk to them too. The secular world is very proactive and the influence is very powerful. George Lucas, he said, "We will never match the power of the teacher who is able to whisper in the student's ear." And a child is always constantly exposed to the internet. So that's like the whisper in the ear. I have John Stone Street. He wrote this book called A Practical Guide to Culture, Helping the Next Generation Navigate Today's World. He talked about understanding the next generation culture. And I recently went to this website called Axel Parenting Teen Summit. And it's a webinar. It's a seminar on the web. And I signed up for it. And there was so much information. It's like a gold mine, a nugget. If parents, you are looking for resources, this is one of it. And it's on the parentingteenssummit.com/home, and you can buy the material for $125, and it's unlimited access. And it talks about parenting with mission, not fear, parenting with success and humility, how to parent with resilient faith, how to parent middle schoolers, how to parent millennial, help them to become adults, how to parent Generation Z and how to have insight in them, pop culture, social media, mental health, technology, video gaming, virtual reality. And I've ordered the book that I talk about, this book, because a child's culture is very different from our culture today. In yet another book, 25 Questions You're Afraid to Ask About Sex, Love, Sex and Intimacy by Dr. Julie Slattery. Now, she talks about there are a lot of undercurrents and waves hitting our household. The undercurrents are like the stirs and drifts, such as information about a certain topic that will be considered an undercurrent about identity issues. But waves are already the very prominent culture that already set in. Like right now, there are a lot of apps, the casual dating, that is a wave already, casual sex, the LGBTQ culture, that is a wave already. And it says that children as young as 8 or 9 years old are viewing pornography today. And if your child is viewing pornography, it's a plague already, and it's a wave hitting your family already. Porn is very accessible. It is a money-making industry and it's anonymous. The child can just go online and view it. And the survey has done and in America, and they say that 87 billions of Americans are viewing porn. And they say that it's like a white elephant sitting in our church pew. It's such a big problem, but nobody talk about it. And your children have access to phone and computer. If they have access to it, they can view porn. We have invited Journey Canada to come in October, and there will be three speakers going to talk about the subjects. The first speaker will talk about made in God's image, and the secular society has actually distorted everything that God has made, and it has abused and also defiant about families and society and breakdown of all this. So the three speakers is coming from Journey Canada. Journey Canada, this is their website. And they're going to come and talk about how God made us in His image. The second speaker is going to talk about is a lady, and she was exposed to pornography and she struggled with and how she overcome. And the third speaker will talk about same-sex attraction. So I encourage you, it's on a Friday night, and I encourage you as parents also, not just send your children, come and listen to it. Because we need strategy to pass on the legacy of faith to our next generation. It's not like, oh, I hope everything is okay with our children. I hope that, you know, as they read the Bible, everything will be fine. We need strategy. Talk to your children about God, about the current issue, about sex, about porn, about the gender thing. And sometimes your children may come back and say, my friend said he's gay. What is your response? You need to talk to them about it. You need to talk to them about empathy, about pride, about humility, about honesty, about integrity, about everything. Do not just bring them to church and say, church, here, do your part. No. Parents, you are responsible. Talk to them about your biblical worldview. And sometimes, just now that one parenting teen summit, they will address many of the issues. And sometimes they encourage you as your children are growing older, begin conversation like, how do you view these things rather than preach down on them? Now, there are a lot of adolescents that say they only have one good conversation with their dad. Of all your lifetime? They say, yeah, just one. Then, the Parenting Teens Summit conference said, then hopefully that conversation is ongoing. That conversation is ongoing and lasts a lifetime. The Parenting Teens conference also said that there was one time our church, some of the parents were doing passport to purity, where a mom bring their daughter and their father bring their son, and they go out on a trip and talk about sexuality, about the birds and the bees. But they say this model is kind of outdated, because today it's not about your child being, oh, whether they've done it or not, whether they're virgin or not, but it's also about whether they view porn, whether they think of what they think of premarital sex, what they think of the sexual revolution. So it should be an ongoing conversation. It's not just an outing one weekend and, oh, I done my part, I talked to my child, and that's it. You need to constantly talk about it, because right now, it's not white and black. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not how far you can stay on the line and not cross it, because the world is very proactive. It's bombarding our children, and it's trying to take hold of our children. Now, church, hopefully, it's the first place where young people come to talk to, but they don't. So parents, you are the next best place where the children can come and talk to you about their struggles. And parents, would you judge them? I hope not. I hope when your child come and confess to you they're struggling, I hope you can bring them and pray with them and give them answers and not judge them, because they are crying out for help. The next generation is leaving God. And we, church, we want to partner with you, parents. It's a partnership. Now, my one good conversation that I have with my father is about giving. I remember that one time I was a bit selfish and I was talking to my dad, and suddenly my dad came out with and talked to me about giving. And he quoted me Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And he said, "Give and it shall be given to you." And he showed me his hand. When we give to God, you know, this is our hand. But when God gave it back to us, his hand is so big. So when he poured back to us, it will overflow. And he did not just talk to me about giving. I could see my dad. He was extremely generous. And he totally believed in what he's saying. So that's why his influence is a lot, is so great in my life, because he do not just talk about it. He impacted with his own example. So the first pointer, conversation to your children about God and biblical worldview. The second pointer is lead a godly life. And this is, everybody knows it. In the book of Philippians, it talks about 2 verse 15, it says, "So that you may be blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in the rapt and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky." And we were doing, we have an adult Sunday school doing the book of Philippians. And this narrator was saying, there's this gentleman, he leads such a godly life. He had integrity, he was punctual, he was honest, he was doing all those good things at his workplace. And at the end of his timeline, he had to resign and go somewhere else. And then all his colleagues was figuring out, wow, he's such a good person and all that. We couldn't figure out what he is. Maybe he's a Buddhist. So he didn't share his faith. So what is more important, to share your faith or to lead a godly life? And then another person, he said, "I'm a Christian." He shared his faith about Christ and all that. But then he leads such an unethical life. He was selfish. He was greedy. So which is more important, leading a godly life or sharing your faith? Now, leading your, as fathers, if you lead your godly life, you have your great journey with God, but you didn't share your faith with your children, that would be incomplete, because your children still need to hear that God is God and God is working in your life. So it would be incomplete if you don't share your faith. But sharing your faith with your children and you do not lead your godly life, that would be insincere. In the past, actors wear theater mask called hypocrite. And hypocrite literally means actor or stage player. But the Greek, they took the word and expanded it, and they use it, the mask, to refer to anyone who is wearing a figurative mask or pretending to be someone else or pretending to be someone they are not. So today in English, we call a person who is insincere, hypocrite. So fathers, all your action, what you say and what you do, it has to match and it impact your children. Children can see beyond the mask. You know, like if you act one way in church and at home you're a different person, they can see beyond. So fathers, I do encourage you, do not wear masks with your children. Lead godly life. Share your faith, but yet lead your godly life. Now, I'm not here to bring shame or to bring guilt on fathers, but to know that God values your fathering. You are important. You are significant. You play such an important role in your family. Ask God for help and apologize to your to your children if you make mistakes. Do not be afraid to say sorry. Good father discipline out of love and not in anger. The next best thing, fathers, you can do for your children is to be good husbands to your wife. And that is also an example. Now, the third pointer I like to say is, it's a spiritual warfare. As in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, it says our battle is not against flesh and blood. It's not your children rebelling. It's not that you're fighting against your children. It's against the principalities, against the forces, against the forces of the darkness. So pray, pray, pray. The Satan, he will exert all pressure to persuade your children to leave and forsake their faith. When I see my young Galatia and Uriah growing up, and I see how Satan attacked their lives, I get spiritually very angry of what Satan is doing in my family. And don't take it as, it's your children rebelling, but it's the forces that is behind attacking and wanting to take them away from you. So fathers, mothers, parents, we have to stand together. Satan wants to take your children, wants to take my children, wants to take our children so that they will abandon the faith that they are grown up with. And I do encourage the whole congregation, older, more matured Christian, be the uncles, be the aunties, be the mentors for our next generation. For the sake of the gospel, come and help one another to disciple the children under our care. It should be a spiritual awakening. Do not just care for your own kids or your own children. Look out for all the children in this congregation, in our whole church. Now, just now I talk about accountability, right? I pray that this church will have prayer as our core values and the other one is good, authentic fellowship and accountability. I myself, I do have my prayer partners, Janice, Lu Ming, Belinda, and I hold myself accountable to them. And I do share with them my family, and they pray for me, I pray for them. And that is what a church should be. We need to be accountable to each other. If you have a family problem, do not just say, I have a problem and I'm alone. We can bring it up and pray for one another. Time is up. But I have a few prayer for all of you. Single moms. Some of you are single moms and you do not have a dad, a role of dad in your family. Do you need support? Do you need prayer? Do not go on this journey alone. If you are a single mom, say to someone, I need prayer, I need help, I need a fathering figure in my child's life. Ask for help. And children, if you do not have dads, maybe your dad has gone to be with the Lord, or some children do not have good parent father's experience, we want to pray for you. Would you forgive your father if they have abused you, they have not been role model in your life? And for children who do not have fathers, church, stand up and be the uncle, be the grandfather, be the role model in their lives. And last of all, I want to pray for the fathers. Have you recently had good conversation with your children? Are you a positive influencer in your children's life? Are you willing to make that change? Let us pray. Oh Lord, there's so many needs because the church consists of families, and families make the society. And when families are strong, society is strong. And when the church family is strong, the church is strong too. Father, we pray for the moms that are single, do not have, maybe some of them do not have fathers that are Christian. They are doing this parenting alone as a Christian moms, or they are divorced or single because father passed away. We want to pray for them. And we want to pray for children without fathers who have bad influence or they lost their father. Lord, we want to pray for them. And last of all, we want to pray for fathers that they will play such a wonderful impact, positive impact, that they will talk to their children about you and not just talk to you, but their lives exemplify Christ in their lives. We want to pray for them. We pray for all this different category. And Lord, I pray that you fill all the gaps. You fill all the brokenness, all the missing link in those family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, you are our Heavenly Father. And thank you that we lack nothing when we are in you. Right now, this day, we want to honor the fathers. Even as they father their children, we ask for your wisdom to come upon them, that they are not afraid to tell, to have conversation, ongoing conversation with their children. And Lord, if they need help, if they need changes in their lives, Lord, enable them, empower them to change so that they can be that positive influence to their children. We pray this in your Christ's name. Amen.